2 Kings chapter 4. Spent some time with my brother-in-laws, and have a few of them. Appreciate them, appreciate their friendship. And I was talking to my one brother-in-law, and he said these sad words. He said he's worked, full-time and real job stuff for the last 12 years and has never liked his job. He actually despises his job. He's already looking for another job, and he just started in January. I go, well, that's an awful feeling. I understand I'm in the ministry, and I have the benefit of serving the Lord and working with people, and, that's a blessing. But could you imagine? I couldn't imagine waking up every day thinking, ugh, work. I hate it. So I said, why do you do it? He goes, because it pays the bills. Good point. Good point. Certainly it would be more fun to sit around and play video games and sit by the beach and throw rocks in the sea, but that does not pay the bills. So he does something he doesn't like to do for a period of time each day because he likes the benefit. Mrs. Bayer's in the hospital. He's got to leave that on. And it reminds me to make sure I check mine too. So he pays the bills. I said, do you have good benefits? He says, yes, great benefits. I said, all right. He's got great insurance, all of that. So I don't know why you take the job that you have. Maybe you are thinking that just right now. Yeah, why am I doing what I do? Because it pays the bills, and maybe there's some sort of benefit. Maybe a 401k or something that you're trying to get to a certain point in your life. Maybe 6 years down the, when I'm 60 or 62, I have plans to retire. I know Mr. Parrott's retiring in August. Is that correct? Woohoo! Done. Gone. And he's worked hard for how many years have you been in the workforce? 44 years. Now you get some time off. Maybe he picked his job and jobs because they were a challenge. Maybe he liked to be challenged every day. I would hate it if I had to do the same thing over and over. I couldn't work an assembly line. And maybe that factory work is for you. Maybe you like that, or that works good for you. But doing the same thing 700 times in one day, and then coming back and doing it 700 more times, and every day that's what you do, every single day. Whew, Brother Rice, I'd have a hard time with that. I would look, say, why is one job more attractive than another job? Maybe it's the pay, maybe it's the benefits, maybe it's the challenge, maybe it's the uniqueness of it. So where are you going with this? It's a very good question. Sometimes we get caught up in life and we just go through the day-to-day operations. And we think, well, you woke up this morning. I know Sundays are a little bit different. I feel like our dog knows when it's Sundays. He knows. He sees us getting dressed up, and he knows the routine's a little bit different. And he tries to hide so he doesn't get put in the basement while we're gone. Look, if I behave and I sit on the couch real quiet and blend in, maybe they won't put me away. Maybe you woke up this morning, or maybe you'll wake up tomorrow, and there you are, and you feel like it's just another Monday. Nothing different. Get up, go through your morning routine. I know some of you maybe go to the gym in the morning, maybe a couple times a week, or get up and read a little bit, and there you are. You get showered up, get your uniform on, or whatever it is, and you take the same route, and you feel like this is just going to be any other day. You understand, with God, there's never just any other day. He always has a plan. And as monotonous as you might feel like your day is going, as we read this passage, let's read 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, and it fell on a day. What day? Just any other day. It was Monday or maybe Tuesday. But it was just a normal day. They woke up, the sun came up just like it did the day before. They were about to have their morning coffee. This couple that lives in this house, there they were. having their coffee, making a little cake on their little fire, and just getting ready for the day. Husband was getting ready for work. Wife was putting some laundry away, whatever it was. It just fell on a day. Just a normal routine, normal day. Little did they know that their life was going to forever be changed. See, sometimes we approach it as just any other day. But God is working around us. And He's working in circumstances around us. And as we read this passage, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. And there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually." I don't know if they had a little room already set aside, because here they make provision for this special room. Verse 10, "Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us, and he shall turn in thither." Started off just like any other day. But that day, this woman and this man met Elisha. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, we recognize that each and every day that we have is a gift from you. Lord, forgive us for getting caught up in the monotony or the placing ourselves in a rut of life, that we fail to recognize that you're working around us all the time. God, may we never treat the day as unimportant, knowing that you're working. God, help us to be sensitive to those things, and that, God, we would be able to see you working in us and through us and around us. God, we would have part in your great work. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I love these stories about just people living life. And in our Sunday school class, we just finished up the study of the life of Joseph. I love the book of Genesis about Joseph, because he's just a normal guy that had an awful experience, but he did right by it all. Here we have just a couple. And what did they do? Here she was. I don't know how she met Elisha. It doesn't tell us. Maybe she was at the market. Maybe she was going to her normal routine. Again, her husband maybe was at work. And there she was at the market picking up some fresh fruits and vegetables. Maybe a piece of fish for that dinner that day. Maybe she was getting a box of Kleenex for her sick husband. We don't know. There she was at the market. And she ran into Elisha. Elisha. They got talking. He said he was hungry. She says, "Well, we have some extra. Why don't you come on over?" And there she made him a little bite to eat. And started this relationship between this family and the man of God. Whenever he was in town, she would invite him over. He would stop by. And she came up with this idea. They didn't have much. It was a simple little place. They weren't called into the ministry. They didn't serve as missionaries or a Christian school teacher. They weren't pastors and pastors' wives. No, they were just normal people. And they took the little room. They made this little chamber and they set it aside. And they said this, "We'll make you a room, and anytime you're in town, you don't have to knock at the front door. We'll just check on you and make sure you have a place to sleep, a place to study, and a place to read, and we'll always make sure that you have food." Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. But can I say, here it is, and it fell on a day that their schedule changed. That there was a change of their schedule. Their routine had been altered. Man, it takes a lot for us to alter our routine. We get gas at the same place. We go out to dinner at the same places. We wear the same outfits. I know this. If I come in on a new tie, 6, 7, 8, 10 people are like, "Oh, Pastor, you got a new tie. How do you know my wardrobe? Stay out of my closet." Well, we recognize things, right? We notice things. And we go here and we do this. We park in the same spots. We sit in the same spots. And don't try it any other way. It helps me. I'll ask Sarah, hey, I didn't see this person. Oh, they were sitting on the other side. Well, why did they do that? I didn't even know they were there. And here they were, going through their, just fell in a day. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and you feel like it's just a normal schedule, hey, pay attention. Maybe God is going to bring somebody by your way. Here, he brought Elisha to them. And their schedule was changed. A divine appointment. And what did they do? Hey, they started this pattern. We don't see a great relationship between Elisha and this couple. Say, how do you know? Because later on, they're in the room and he's talking to his servant to talk to them. It would be like me telling Stephen. Is that Anthony or Stephen? That's Stephen. Right, okay. Throw me off, Grandpa Hate. Okay, yeah. So, hey, tell Anthony that he looks nice today. He's sitting right there. And so we see this relationship between Elisha and this couple. He talks to them with the servants still in the room. Well, let them know. Well, they can hear you. It wasn't this match made. But they were invested in the work of the Lord. They made an investment in the things of God. They tried to be a blessing to those that served the Lord. They allowed their schedule to be changed. Investment in the Lord's work. What would it take for a little chamber to be built? Well, it costs money. So how do you know this? Because we're trying to build a room upstairs. And I go to Lowe's and I say, I need materials. And they say, great, give us money. It would take sacrificing a room. How many of you have a room in your house that you just don't use? Not usually. Not too often do people buy houses with, oh, we're just going to have 3 or 4 empty bedrooms. No, most people don't do that. Investment in the Lord's work was going to cost them something. It was going to have them sacrifice some of their own personal things. 3, they would have to give up some of their time. Hey, I heard motion in the chamber over there. Why don't you go check and, hey, we'll have to make some extra dinners. I think Elisha's here this weekend. And it cost them something, but they were very willing to invest in the work of the Lord. And I look at that and I think, what was their motive? Ever be skeptical, Brother Bauman, of people? Unfortunately, the answer is usually yes, right? What do you get out of this? Hey, it called her a great woman. I don't know. I think it's an attribute to her character. What did she get out of it? She wasn't doing anything to get out of it. She wasn't trying. She had no angle. She had no agenda. She was just trying to be a blessing. She recognized, hey, this is a holy man of God. Let's just be a blessing and encouragement to him. And she was. She didn't, on his last night, slide an invoice under the door. Here's the cost of the candle. I had to do laundry. That's going to be an additional cost. We were just at a hotel for 5 nights. I'm like, what is this? They're like, that's for the safe. I didn't ask for a safe. I didn't use a safe. I don't want the safe. She's like, well, it was in your room, and we have to charge you for it. That's dumb. Dumb. All right. But that's not what she did with Elisha, did she? That was 2 cakes, a room, a candle. She wasn't using it as a money-making scheme. Get this. She was just trying to be a blessing. She had no agenda, no angle. They allowed their schedule to be changed to just be a blessing. It would take an adjustment on their part. It would change their daily life. Maybe now, every day as she went out to the market, she would peek into the little room to see, was Elisha there last night? Do I need to clean up the room? Do I need to replace the candle? Do I need to make a little extra food? And see, that's where a lot of times we draw the line in the sand and say, I'm sorry, God, this is just going to have... That would change what I do every day. For me to be invested in the work of the Lord, I would have to... It's going to cost me something. Well, this couple allowed it. And they were committed to it. That's what it would take for this to work. It would take commitment. Commitment. Maybe the couple was sitting around the table at their house and say, are we really committed to this? Maybe in your home, you say, we would like to support a missionary. My son was telling me, I think it was Sam or maybe Joe, about a businessman that gave 90% of his money away. He made antennas. Is that what it was? Satellite antennas out of a little one-room garage and made a lot of money. Gave 90% to the church, and with the rest, listen, with the rest, he supported how many missionaries? 400 missionaries personally himself. Do you know what kind of house you could have? Do you know what kind of stuff you could... Hey, sometimes the work of the Lord is not about how big we can get, but how much we can aid and be a blessing to others. We have to remember that quite possibly the things that pass through our hands are not for us, but for somebody else. And it just fell on a day where this couple met Elisha. And they made a commitment and a covenant with themselves to be kind to this man of God. Looking for nothing in return. They were not doing it that one day they could retire off the money or... No. They just wanted to be a blessing. In verse 11, much like verse 8, and it fell on a day... Verse 11, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned in the chamber and lay there, just like he had before. Maybe it's been 3 weeks, maybe it's been 2 years, whatever it was, but he showed up again. They didn't know. It just seemed like a normal day. And then Elisha's in the house. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? The man of God just asked her. Well, he asked Gehazi to ask her. What do you want? He gives some options. He said, wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? He goes, do you want me to bring anything up to the king? I meet with him on a regular basis. He doesn't really like me. But I have a way. Or he gives the second option. Or to the captain of the host. He says, would you like me to talk to the king? Or the captain of the host. Who's the captain of the host? Well, that's God himself. How does she respond? She says, and she answered, I dwell among mine own people. She goes, I need nothing of the land. And he said, what then is to be done for thee? She doesn't even answer. The servant answers. And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about the season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. Look at the humanity of this. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. She says, there's some things we fool around about, but don't tease me on this. If this isn't true, do not get my hopes up, because there is but one thing I would like in this life, and that would be a son. She has no children. Maybe this room had the thoughts and intentions that one day it would be a nursery. That one day their child would grow up in their home. But God never gave them that. See, it fell on a day, not only with a schedule change, but an incredible offer. See, they were not seeking a blessing just to be one. And God gave her a blank check. She didn't even speak for herself. And in verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. 9 months later, there's the little man. What a blessing. So how does God do things like that? Well, James 1:17. Well, let's look there. James 1:17. James 1:17. Can I say, I've read this story, I can't even tell you how many times. I'm very familiar with the 2 Kings. Not because I'm some great scholar, I just like the stories. I love the Word of God in these ways, and I've studied this thing out, and I was just reading it through again, and I never saw that phrase, and it fell on a day. Just a normal day. And so many times throughout my life, I just go through just normal, what I would consider normal days, failing to recognize God is working around us. And how many days have we wasted not starting the conversation, not getting involved in the work of the Lord? Here, this woman and man thought, oh, we're just going to be a blessing to the man of God. Where in turn, what did it turn into? It turned into their greatest desire in life. You couldn't have scripted it. You couldn't have made it up. You couldn't have explained to her and said, she didn't reason that and say, hey, I want to try and be a blessing to the man of God, because I think one day he's going to ask me, what is it that he could do for me? And then he'll give me a son. She didn't think that. No, she just thought, how can I be a blessing to the man of God? Which in turn turned out to be this incredible, incredible offer. In James 1:17, what does it say? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God just pours out blessings to her. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. She's seeing all of these verses fulfilled in her life. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What does he do? He gives her the desires of her heart. Look at Psalm 37. I love these verses in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. See, that's what she did. She didn't do it with trying to get something. She just did that. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Here she was. She was just living a normal day. Just doing what she was supposed to be doing. Do you understand that that means she served the Lord a number of years with no son? Who controls whether we have children or not? God. No person. No person comes in and says, all right, I'm going to wave this magic wand and now you'll be able to have children. Pastor Benson, did you ever pastor somebody that wanted to have kids and couldn't? Man, that's heartbreaking. There's one thing they want more than anything, and that's kids. And you see that, and man, your heart breaks for that. And man, those are tough conversations. And they ask questions like, why wouldn't God? Because that's the source. Only God can open and close the womb. But yet she still consent. She still served the Lord day after day. Never allowing bitterness or envy or any of that sort to take root in her life. Our lacking is never reason to not serve the Lord. Let me say that again. Our lacking is never reason to not serve the Lord. No, we still serve the Lord even if it's not going how we want. We do right by him. First, it fell on a day where it was a change in schedule. Secondly, We see this incredible offer. And then thirdly, you follow the story with me as we go to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 18. The child grows up. 2 Kings 4:18. And when the child was grown, there he was working in the field just like any other day. Told you we were driving back from Wisconsin, and on the other side of the highway, our side of the highway starts to slow down. My phone warns me, slow down up ahead, but you're still on the fastest route. Great. And sure enough, on the other side, there's a car upside down and facing the opposite direction. There were probably 7 or 8 state troopers, a lot of emergency vehicles. You know what? They left their house just like any other day. And their life literally got turned upside down. Here's this couple, and they have this son. They doesn't tell us that they had any other children. And there he was, and he was working, and it just fell on a day. Just like any other day. It wasn't a holiday. It wasn't anything special. It was just a normal day. They went out unbeknownst to them. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Felt like just any other normal day, but this day it was not. So what did she do? She went up and laid him on the bed, man of God, and shut the door behind him and went out. She called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." She just wanted to get to Elisha. And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." And she saddled an ass and said to the servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." She says, "Open up the full throttle of this little animal as fast as you can. And don't stop. I know I'm old, but get there as quick as you can. I'll let you know if I can't handle it." That's what she says. And he did just that. Verse 26, "So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Behold, yonder, is that the Shunammite? Run down, I pray thee, to meet her.' And he said unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband?'" Look at this next question. "Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." There are some things that you cannot control. "It is well," she said. She just wanted to get to the man of God. She gets to him, and what does she do? She throws herself at his feet, wraps her hands around his legs. Gehazi tries to get her off, and Elisha says, "No, leave her there. Something's wrong." And she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" See, what it seemed like just any other day, what ends up happening? The son dies. There he was working in the field, and set his head, and he just died. They lay him in his bed, and she runs, and she goes and gets Elisha. So they bring Elisha back. They lay him in his room, and in verse 34, "And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked to the house in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon the child, sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes." A miracle. Weird, but a miracle. And all was well. A miracle restored. If we look at the interaction in verse 23, and she says, I would like to go. And he says, the husband says, are you sure this is a good idea? She's like, this is what I have to do. She says, it shall be well. It's going to work out. This woman had some faith. When Gehazi, the servant, comes and says, is your husband okay? Is everything okay? How about your son? She said, what? It is well. All's good. Can I see Elijah now? Right? Maybe you've had a nightmare of losing a child. She didn't blame the Lord again. She had some questions for Elisha, but she did not blame the Lord. She knew she needed help. You know, God works miracles in our life. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Jeremiah 32, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And if we answer that question, is anything too hard for God? No. Her son was restored unto her. I've never seen a child come back to life. No human that I've ever seen pass away come back. Say, this doesn't work. But God does work miracles in our life. And what sometimes feels like every other day and just a normal routine, but God is working behind the scenes. And you know, there's certain things that God wants to... I know He restored the son to her, but He wants to restore unto us. Psalm 51:12 says, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. You know, it says there that Elisha lied down on the sun. And what happened? He got warm. Maybe our faith has gotten a little cold. Maybe there's things in our life, our walk with God isn't where it ought to be. Say, well, I'm waiting for a day. Hey, it fell on a day. Let it be today where you make the step out, where you run to the Lord. I know we don't have Elisha, but we certainly can run to God Himself and throw ourselves at His feet and say, God, I've wandered away from You. I've done wrong. I've wandered from my faith. Will You please restore my fellowship with You? And the fact that He would even hear us is a miracle. Sometimes our days, although they may feel just monotonous, God is working. We see this all throughout this passage. Maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. Remember when you got saved, how excited you were? Man, you were telling everybody, you were reading your Bible, you were faithful to church, you allowed God to change you step by step. Then he got to a place where he just kind of plateaued. It just kind of leveled out. Maybe you need to come and run to the Lord like she did and just wrap your feet or hands around His feet and say, God, I need to get back to what I had. Would You please restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Maybe there's a family matter. Maybe there's a family matter within your home that needs restoration. To restore means to return to that which was lost, to replace. Maybe there's something in your home that you're at odds with. Husband and wife, siblings, maybe a child to parent, maybe extended family, where you need to make a phone call or you need to talk to somebody and say, we've lost something that we once had. Say, it's too far gone. Is anything too hard for me, he says. We just need somebody willing to humble themselves and make right. We're again studying in the life of Joseph. And Jacob tells Joseph, he tells the brothers, he says, when I die, I need you to go ask for forgiveness from your brother. Why? How did he know that? Because Jacob one day asked for forgiveness from Esau and they made it right. And he said, it's not worth living this life without being right. There's nothing worth living over that's worth being so at odds over things. So get over your pride, humble yourself, and make right. Maybe it's with the Lord. Maybe it's with another. Again, 1 John chapter 1. This will be our last verse. 1 John chapter 1. I'm just trying to encourage you to treat today not like any other day. Because you don't know what God is doing around you. Was it yesterday that Haley and Anthony... Was it yesterday or Friday? Yesterday, got engaged. Haley thought it was just any other day. Woke up normal, and it fell on a day. Kathy and Seth woke up that day? No. I mean, the writing was on the wall with them, but she was great with child. Is today the day? Hey, what's God doing in your life today? Will you be able to look down, back down the road and say, that was the day He came and met with me. That was the day He restored the joy of my salvation. That was the day my brother and I fixed things. That was the day I made things right with God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse... His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Get a fellowship with the Lord. So what's missing in your life that could be restored? The joy of your salvation? An issue with your family member? Issue with a friend? How about your walk with God? Life's too short to let one day go by not being right with the Lord. It was back in 1899. That was a long time ago. A man by the name of Horatio Spafford was known as one of Chicago's most successful lawyers and businessmen. Through the years, his investments in real estate along the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago had paid off handsomely. In 1871, Mr. Spafford wrote to some of his friends that he felt that he was sitting on top of the world. He had a loving wife, four beautiful daughters, a profitable business empire, and a successful law practice. Who would have thought that the action of a single farm animal could change all of that? That's exactly what happened one night when Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern in her barn. This triggered the Great Chicago Fire. In a few hours, Spafford's wealth was burned to ashes. He told his friends all that he had left of his business empire was his university diploma. Although Spafford was devastated by all of this, his financial fall affected his wife hardest. Her doctor suggested that a vacation might help her. Spafford arranged for an extended family trip to Europe. Just prior to the scheduled departure, Spafford received an important phone call about a pressing matter in Chicago. He told his family to go ahead and that he would join them later. Somehow, in the middle of the ocean, the Villa de Havre strayed into the path of a British ship. Both were traveling at full speed. In 12 minutes, 226 people lost their lives. 7 days after the accident, when the survivors landed in Wales, Spafford received a two-word telegram from his wife. Saved alone. Spafford booked the first ship bound for England. As he was sitting on the deck, the ship's captain approached him and said, Mr. Spafford, we are approaching the spot where your daughters now rest. Instead of being grief-stricken as he thought he would be, Spafford said that a peace came over him. As he remembered the words of his friend D.L. Moody, Moody had told him, "One of these days, you're going to read that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of that. I'll be more alive than I am now." Spafford said that he felt the girls around him. Rather than cry, he smiled. Rushing to his cabin, Spafford picked up the pen and paper and jotted down the words that were suddenly on his heart. He wrote, "When peace... when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." When the Spaffords returned to Chicago, they were surrounded by friends and family. One of those friends who came to help comfort the Spaffords was Philip Bliss, a young vocalist and songwriter. As Bliss listened to Spafford's poem, he was deeply moved. At his home, Bliss composed music for the poem, creating a song he called, "It Is Well With My Soul." Mr. and Mrs. Spafford went to the Holy Land and established a ministry called American Colony. The Spaffords saved thousands of lives each year by feeding the hungry and treating the sick. What felt like just fell on another day turned out to be a life-changing day. Because God is always working around us. He's not nearly as short-sighted as we are. He's got a plan. He has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me, and He has a plan for us. Together. If we would be willing to allow Him to adjust our schedule just a little bit, then maybe we could see the miracles that He is willing to work around us. Could we do that together? Let's all stand. I want you to remember that phrase, "It fell on a day." It felt like a normal day. It was a life-changing day. And God has a day for you, and maybe multiple days, where He looks to change and adjust you, where you thought it was just going to be a normal routine, but it was going to require a schedule change, a commitment, a covenant, an act of kindness on your part. God, I encourage you to restore that which was lost, maybe with the Lord Himself, maybe with another. In a moment, the music's going to play, and I'm going to ask you if you could say, "It is well with my soul." Just like that woman back in 2 Kings chapter 4, just like Horatio Spafford, who sat on the bow of the deck of the ship, even though turmoil was going on around them, can we recognize that God is in control, and can we say, "It is well"? He's working around us. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, with an uplifted hand, I'm just going to ask you one question.